As Lumpo Sumato was describing in his Dhamma talk on the full moon day, one of the approaches that can be used in terms of clarifying the attitudes of mind, particularly letting go of conceit, self-view, to actively bring in words that arouse, that illuminate, highlight attitudes of mind. He was just describing his use of the word me to bring that into the mind, to consciously think the word me. This is me. Me. We can take a simple, absolutely ordinary way of referring to this person, the feeling of ownership, mine, this is mine, this belongs to me. And when the mind is quite focused, spacious, quiet, we deliberately, consciously bring those kinds of words into that space of the mind. When there's a quality of focus, stability, the mind is quite quiet, not in the middle of doing anything else, but as still, spacious as possible. Let's bring in a word like me. No commentary, no explanation or any kind of elaboration, just to highlight that feeling of meanness, ahankara, made of I am. This is me. And the point is not just to repeat the word, but to notice the impact that forming a word like that has. You can use your own language. If it's more impactful in your own original language than in English, use that. The point is to bring about that highlighting effect. So when we bring a word like me or mine, I, consciously to mind, dropping that into the space of awareness, feeling the effects of that, knowing that directly, what's experienced. Or when such words are brought up, I, mine, me, notice how there's a sense of weirdness, that something in the heart knows. There's the intuitive wisdom of the heart that knows what? What's that referring to? What is that? That's not it. Those kind of insights are not even necessarily spelled out in words, but it's a clear intuitive feeling. When the mind says, I, there's a recognition of wrongness, of imbalance, distortion there. The heart knows that's got nothing to do with anything real. It's an ordinary, everyday usage in language. I'm going, I'm thinking, I'm speaking. This is mine, my room, my clothes, my job, my family. This is mine. This is me. This is me. Me. Ordinary everyday usage, but when it's explored, investigated in the space of the open citta, the open mind, then that weirdness is revealed. That sense of distortion, imposition, things out of balance, that feeling of weirdness. So if there's the investigation of these simple words like mine, it reveals that the insight, the intuition, that what is there that can be owned, and what is there here that could actually own anything? It's impossible. It's a conventional truth, but ultimately it's meaningless. There is no thing that can be owned and no thing that can own it. Oh. And in that, oh, there's a change of view. That feeling of weirdness, it's unsettling to the ego and the habits of self-view, conceited thinking. But it's relieving, liberating to the jitta itself. That oh, that arises, that sense of a view changing, a perspective changing. That feeling of I-ness is just seen as another formation in nature, like the shape of a cloud, the sound of a bird. It's all just a pattern of nature. Not a person, not belonging to a person, just a formation in a state of change. That's all. Empty of any kind of essence. I, me, mine. All of these are just conventional ways of speaking. Conveniences of communication. That's all. There's no thing substantially there. So this kind of practice is a way of actualizing that insight. We might have it as an idea. There's no thing that can be owned and no person that can own it. That can be an idea in the mind. We might agree with that as a concept, but as a felt sense, as a genuine change of heart, that's something else. So this kind of practice, this kind of investigation, brings about that change of heart. Even if it's just for a moment, just half a second, quarter of a second, just that brief change of view where the habitual pattern of attachments are dropped, that changes the whole landscape. Changes everything. So when that insight dawns, when that there is that momentary change of view, let that into the heart. Let that be fully known. That, oh, this I feeling is just a feeling. There's no thing substantial there. Oh. Don't gloss over that, or brush it aside. Getting on to the next thing to think about or to do, but quietly, fully, let that into the heart. Let that be known. Let the implications of that change of view sink in as deeply as possible. If this feeling of mine, I and me, is genuinely empty, what does that say about my thoughts, my life, my story, my successes, my failures, my problems, my things, my relationships, my place? Oh, our story becomes the story of the universe, the story of reality itself. Our autobiography is the autobiography of the universe. Not personal. not separate, not dependent. And we can use the process of inquiry also around questioning, not just making a statement like I or mine or me, but to use questioning to investigate that feeling of selfhood. Who is it that hears the sound of the lorry? Who is that hearing this voice? Who feels the sensations of the body? Once again, if we let the mind be as settled as possible, as open, alert as possible, then into that open space of the mind, there is this kind of question introduced. Who is hearing? We're not looking for a conceptual answer, we're not looking for a name or an idea, but rather, exactly by in the same way as by stating I and me and mine, the point of asking such questions is, who is hearing? Who is asking this question? Is not to find some kind of clever conceptual answer, but to cause the thinking mind to trip over its own feet, to hesitate. There's a moment where there's that insight that, oh, who is the wrong question? It's not a who that's here. Oh. How strange, how mysterious. It's the quality of satipanya, mindfulness and wisdom, that recognizes the wrongness of such questions. The same quality that satipanya is what recognizes the weirdness, the distortion of I, me, mine. Well, this is a quality of view that can be trusted. And mindfulness and wisdom in this way can be trusted. Well, then maybe we let go of the using the word who. Who is it hearing? Who is it feeling? And ask instead what? What hears? What feels? What knows this moment? What is it that's aware of this reality? And again, we're not looking for a conceptual answer like saying, oh, it's the true self or it's the Dhamma, it's pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is just two words. The Dhamma is just two words. The words, the Dhamma, are not the Dhamma, they're just words. So the point of these kind of exercises, explorations, is not to dwell upon the words or the concepts, but to use them to enable the heart to see beyond those concepts, those conceivings. To establish that clear vision, that clear way of knowing, seeing, the vijja dhatu, the element of knowing, of awareness, that recognizes who is the wrong question, what is the wrong question, or where, you know, where is this being experienced, where am I, what is here referring to. This kind of inquiry can illuminate the habits of attachment to selfhood, to time, to location, all the conditioning around identity, every kind of conceiving. As the Buddha said, I am is a conceiving, is a manyati, it's a creation. I am is a conceiving, I am not is a conceiving, I shall be, I shall not be, I was. All of these I's, I am's, they're conceivings, creations. And as he said in that same teaching, conceiving, manyati, is a disease. It's like a cancerous tumor, like a poisoned arrow. It's a distortion, an agitation, stressful. So when the heart is free of those conceivings, then there's the quality of security, peacefulness, purity, ease. And that's the point of using these kind of questions, these kind of statements, to free the heart, at least for a moment, from those habits of identification with self, with time, location, concepts, language, cause and effect. All of it, all conceptual structures, number and time, all of it. To highlight those attachments, and through that knowing, through them being highlighted, seen and known clearly, then they can be let go of. Their innate emptiness can be recognized. And in that recognition, there's peacefulness, ease, boundlessness, spaciousness.